Yo, what the heck is going on, everybody? It's your guy, Snowbike Mike, and Daddy Greg Miller.
Greg Miller. I'm saying myself. What did I say? My own name? I don't know what's happening. What does that mean?
We're
what do you want me to do?
We're having fun here on another Patreon exclusive. Remember Blank, and this day we are doing something fun, Greg. We're switching it up just a little bit because I want to remember midnight launches. They've kind of come and gone, and we don't get to do them anymore. Of course, now I just wait for my clock to turn 9 p.m. here on the West Coast, and then I just hit play the game off of the tile. So no more fun midnight launches like they used to be. But I thought you and I could reminisce because I know I've been to a couple, and I'm sure you have been to plenty, right, Greg?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Midnight launches are such a big deal, or were such a big deal, like you said. There's so much excitement when you're there. I think that, you know, I know it sounds ridiculous now probably, but, you know, gaming used to feel like, you know, you were an outcast. It used to feel like you were the only person who loved video games as much as that. So when you get to go to a midnight launch and find out that, oh my God, there's other people here who feel the same way. They're into this like I'm into this. This is rad, and have those conversations. There was nothing like that excitement in the air. And like, everybody shared enthusiasm for the thing coming out at midnight, let alone to be around other people who cared about games and understood them.
Yeah, that was one of the coolest ones, is the camaraderie in the community, right, Greg? We've always touched on it. Going to these conventions like PAX West or E3 or, you know, Day of the Devs, you get to meet all of these fellow best friends or community members in the gaming world that are just like you, right? They're there for the same shared passion to play this cool new video game, to get their hands on something special. And the midnight launch has just had a different energy to it all, right?
As opposed I think you stole the words from my mouth. And by the way, I'm not ignoring you. I know that on my phone from like 2000, whatever, I have a photo of all of IGN at like the Halo
3
midnight launch or something like that. That's what I'm trying to find. But no, I think conventions really came in and didn't steal the thunder, but they kind of have that vibe, right? Yes. Like, you know, I remember growing up and it was like, there wasn't a PAX to go to, right? So it was the idea that maybe you go to Comic-Con, maybe you see somebody, you know, wanting to sell their video games or whatever. It wasn't this like communal event like it is now to go celebrate all this stuff. And so again, I really feel that's where the midnight launches came in, that they felt like that.
Oh my gosh. They were so cool, Greg. And the best part was you saw people from all walks of life, right? I think back to some of my first midnight launches. I was in middle school and high school, right? I was still young at that age. But you'd look around, there was a father of two joining me and my mom, right? There was kids in college. There was kids in high school. There was just adults all there gathered
around. Just adults.
Just adults, right? Just people that were just adults.
Here's an adult. This person has a job.
Because like as a young kid, right, it's like, you didn't have a car. I wasn't in high school yet, not until Halo 3. So specifically for the Xbox 360 launch, I was a sophomore in high school, and I had to have my mom wait outside of Circuit City in the cold for 80% of the day, where then Big Mike dropped me off at night to go sit with her all night. Then I had to leave before Circuit City even opened to then go to school, and mom had to make the final purchase. So, like, mom carried the weight through a big midnight launch that was important for me. She did it all right there.
That's awesome. That's a great one for your mom to do that for you.
Yeah, and then, of course, as you know, Greg, if all the best friends listening over here on the XCast side, the Xbox 360 launched with two different SKUs. There was the Xbox 360 with the hard drive and one that they called the arcade, which didn't give you the hard drive.
You didn't need it.
You could never save anything, right?
No big deal.
I will never forget me and mom battled to be in the top five spots, right? Because, of course, our local city, Circuit City, there was 10 of each console. He comes out and he gives you the little ticket and goes, you can have the big one. You can have the small one, right? And mom gets home and I'm jazzed up after high school. I'm like, mom, you're the greatest.
Oh, no, I don't like where this story's going.
To play NBA Live. I'm so pumped up. She goes, I got you this. I'm so happy. And I plug it all in and I look at her and I go, I can't save the game. And she goes, what do you mean? And I go, there's no hard drive here. I thought we got the one with the hard drive, and she starts bawling. And she's
like,
I don't know. This is what they gave me. And I freaked. You know, I was one of those awful kids that just flipped a lid because we got the Xbox Arcade Edition and no hard drive included. I can't tell you, Greg, how many times I restarted NBA Live with that dumb tutorial of Dwayne Wade in a virtual basketball hoop.
How long before you got a hard drive?
Took us 2 weeks. Because, of course, now they don't have any stock. The guy's like, I don't know. I have to try to go through Microsoft. They didn't ship us one for 2 weeks. It sucked.
Wow.
But, yeah, mom, she, bless her heart, did her best, right? And I think that's the fun part. Is like, unfortunately for me, I'll never have those moments of like, oh, I got the wrong thing. Because now it's like, I'm a true gamer. I know what's going on. And also, there's no more midnight launches, right? You just don't get those anymore.
Now you click on the wrong button on Amazon. It shows up. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's going to be the big one for you. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I luckily never screwed up a midnight launch like that. You know, like your mom did. Yes. Bless her heart. You know, for me, whenever I think of a midnight launch, I jump to, my PlayStation 2 story where, you know, PlayStation 2, I remember being so close to buying a Dreamcast. And remember, I was somebody who was burned by buying getting a Sega Saturn. I got a Sega Saturn for Christmas one year over the N64, which is a terrible decision. And that's when I was like, I have a Sega kid no longer. I will not support these people. And I remember after high school, every day after high school, I'd go over to the Target and play the Crazy Taxi demo kiosk. And it was like that thing where I remember, I'll never forget. I was like, maybe I should get a Dreamcast. And my friend Mike O'Brien was there. He's like, dude, the PlayStation 2 is out in 6 months. Don't do it. You know what I mean? Like, and I was already waiting for the PS2.
Okay.
But it was that thing of like, don't break. You're having a weak moment. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
And so, you know, I was all in on that PlayStation 2. You know, it was a DVD player. And I only knew one other friend who had a DVD player. And it would be that thing where we'd go to his house for sleepovers. And when he'd fall asleep, I'd keep watching the Mallrats like commentary off the DVD. I thought DVDs were the coolest fucking thing. You know, I got my summer job at Walmart to be able to pay for the PS2. I would, you know, once in a while treat myself by going next door to Best Buy and buying the DVD I want. And then, like, I would sit in my car and read the back of the DVD, and then I'd come home and leave them in cellophane and put them on the bookshelf. Like, this is where my DVDs go, and this is where my PS2 games will go, and that'll be the entire fucking thing. And then it was that buildup, you know, to October 26th, 2000. And I'll never forget, you know, I didn't screw up and buy the wrong PS2, of course, because there was just one. But I did screw up and not pre-order fast enough. I went into Funko Land one day and I was like, I want to pre-order the PS2. And it was literally like, I don't even know, 2 or 3 days after they started doing it or whatever. But it was one of those things, you know, information moved slower at the time. And they were like, okay, cool, you can do that, but like, you'll be in wave two. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, well, we've already sold through the pre-orders that we'll get for October. Like, you'll probably get it in like December, like maybe late November, probably December. And I was like, that is not acceptable. But I put the pre-order down. And then, you know, at high school, I had this friend named Adam Brown, and he was also in the same boat that he didn't get his pre-order in. And he was the only other person who cared about the PS2 launch in my high school. And he was like, here's what's going to happen. Here's what we're going to do. Like, he worked at a store called Meijer. Are you familiar with Meijer?
M-E-I-J-E-R.
It's basically like a Walmart superstore.
Okay,
you know what
okay.
I mean? Where it's got like the groceries and it's got the, you know, auto department. It's just a giant, you know, big old department store. But it was 24/7. He worked there and they had an electronics department. And he's like, I know we're going to get PS2s at launch. I say we go there and we line up there and we'll do the thing.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, man, I'm fucking in. Let's do it. And I was like, well, then it was this big debate of like, well, how early do we line up for a midnight launch for a PlayStation 2? Like, we know it's going to be hella popular, but what do we do? Is it really going to be popular in this mire in the suburbs of Chicago?
Exactly,
and
not even right?
Like the more popular. And so we debated and hemmed and hawed. And I was finally like, you know, fuck it. As soon as high school's done, as soon as that bell rings, straight to Meijer, we get in line.
Bang, yep.
And he was like, I can't do that. I have to work at Meijer. I was like, I will get in line for both of us. I will set up two chairs. They will understand. He's like, all right, deal. And so bell rang, ran to my car, jumped in the Ford Taurus, the big red machine, as we called it, ripped it out to the suburb. And it was like, you know how that you are as a kid. Like, it's very different. But it was like, I remember he wasn't in St. Charles, but he was somewhere near there. And it was like a suburb I had never been to. So it's like one of those things of like, you're talking about like the fog of war on your map opening up as I'm like, I have a Rand McNally thing as I'm like making sure I'm getting there on everything. Get to this mire in the middle of fucking nowhere that I'm sure is surrounded by apartments now. Anyways, though, got there, did the fucking fast walk. I've got my little camping chair. I've got my backpack that has, I forget what handheld I would have been rocking, but it's got multiple EGMs, including the EGM. I still have that's over there on my bookcase, the one that is the launch guide for the PlayStation 2.
Awesome.
I'll grab it when I'm done with the story, right? Fucking power walk over to the electronics department. I'm like huffing and puffing. I'm expecting this big line. And I get into the electronics department and they have the video game case and they have the cashier register at the front. And there's a dude working the register. There's this girl leaning over the counter who works there too, just shooting the shit with him. And I walk up kind of huffing and puffing. They both look at me and I'm like, I'm here for the PS2 launch. I swear I'm not a nerd. And the guy takes the deepest sigh and he's like, you can put your chair there. I was like, thank you. And so I set this chair up at like 3:15 in the afternoon to get it at midnight. And I sat down and I put my second chair there and I sat down and there was a good 25 minutes of feeling like a huge ass doofus.
Love that.
As I'm sitting there, but then 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever it is later, two other people showed up.
Yes.
And then consistently on a base, people came, and I was like, oh man, like it feels so much better not being the only person in line here. You know what I mean? But then it was that thing of like, every time somebody arrived, I would explain to them that I had an empty chair, that my friend works here at Meijer. Like, you know, it's going to be Adam's, you know, because it was tense of like, how many PS2s did you get? We don't know. It's this many. We think you're getting conflicting information. It's like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. And I remember like being so stoked as it got closer. But then it went to this really weird place where I got really like aggressively worried, and like there was, I'll never forget, like Adam eventually shows up and we're sitting there, blah blah blah, and it's like, you know, we're down to the final 20 minutes 10 minutes, and another Meijer employee had showed up and had like gone to the front of the line where the register was and was talking to one of the employees there, and it was one of those things I put into my own head that this guy was gonna just claim to be number one, I was like ready to fucking fight this guy that I had like no beef with at all. And sure enough, you know, the guy just walked away eventually. Right. Oh. And I'll never forget. They busted it out. And like, this was the first major purchase I ever made. Like this, you know what I mean? Like, you know, cause I'm not even 18 yet. Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, not, I'm far from it. Right. Yeah. Yeah. First major purchase I ever made. And so, I'm not far from it. And I was so stoked about it. And so of course this is, again, I'm elderly, as you all know, like I didn't have a credit card. And like, I didn't want to, I didn't chance it on a checkbook. So what I had done is I had taken a trip to France like the previous summer with my, on a school trip, you know what I mean? And one of the things they made you buy was a money belt to wear under your shirt and put like your money and your passport in. And so I had this fucking, I had $400 in bills strapped to my chest or whatever. I pull out my money and I get up there and I buy it. And I remember, you know, they give it to me in the bag and I walk and I just turn around and stand there solemnly waiting for Adam. And like three people back in the line are like, hold it up. And I'm like, oh man, like the place erupted. Like I have no idea what to fucking do. Oh. Like they were like, what are you doing? Celebrate. You're not even like excited. You're standing there waiting for your friend.
It's so interesting because I'm looking back on it, right? And it's like the console launches are so much different than the game launches, right? I think there is that added pressure of the console of, will I get this? There's got to be enough numbers. Oh, there's not enough numbers, right? Look at you. That I don't want to be a mega dork, but where can I line up? That's also another nightmare. Where can I line up, right, Greg? That's a big problem. Oh, that's so dope looking.
You don't want to be in the wrong spot. You don't have anything to do with it. Yeah.
But I think back to like the game side of things, right? Like I'm showing off right now the Xbox 360 launch. They had a red carpet with Elijah Wood and like multiple freaking celebrities walking a red carpet before this Xbox 360 launch. Like this is a different time. They don't do that anymore, you know?
I don't, it's not that I feel like I missed out, but when like Danny Pena throws up these photos of him at the original Xbox launch meeting Bill Gates and shit, and like even, again, to your point, they don't do them in the same way anymore. But when it was like, you know, at the PlayStation store and there's this big thing, it's like, those would have been cool to go to, right? Because outside of like, even outside of my weird Meijer story, you know, going to GameStop at midnight, right? And, you know, I'm waiting to pick up whatever game I'm picking up. It wasn't the same as those ones where there was a celebrity thing. You know what I mean? Like, I think of my other big one was going to pre-order my Wii. If you remember, like it was that, like they announced when you could pre-order your Wii. So I went to GameStop in the mall in Columbia, Missouri. I was in college, and I got there, and I thought, you know, I was very much like, oh, this is gonna be shades of PS2. You know what I mean? Like I'm gonna be the first. And I got the mall opened or whatever, you know, 5 a.m. so people can walk around it. The stores don't open until 8 or whatever. But I was like, I'll go. And so I got there, and there was one other guy already in line in front of me, and I sat down next to him, and it was when DS Lite was the big thing, and I was playing with him, and this is the first time, like, I had read about it but never heard known about it, but, like, how you could share Mario Kart, you know what I mean, with somebody if they didn't have it, and they'd have access to everything. So this me and this dude and then the other people who showed up just played Mario Kart for 3 hours or whatever, and I went in there, I was like, I'll pre-order a Wii, and I'd also like Mario Kart on the DS. Thank you very much. And it was, like, you know, it was a game changer of that, but and it's, like, you know, I went and covered for the paper the launch of the PlayStation 3. That was another midnight launch where I have a whole bunch of, I can dig them out for you. Me interviewing people leaving the Columbia Walmart with it, and me talking to people out there who are like lined up outside the Best Buy for it. Like, just because, again, that was like, I can't I'm lucky that I've never had to do like the, I shouldn't say never had to do, but I mostly haven't had to do the midnight launches in the bitter elements.
Oh,
right.
Where yes, it's like, yes,
I think about even when I bought my Wii and that then it was, you know, that crazy thing, the unicorn, where old people wanted the Wii too. And my mom, after she played it at Thanksgiving, wanted a Wii. And I was like, I'm going to get it for Christmas for her. And I remember being lined up outside of Circuit City in Columbia, Missouri, and like, you know, whatever below temperature in December trying to make it happen.
Yeah, that's where my stories always make me smile, because as an adult, right, I moved up to Tahoe, and it was, you have to drive all the way off the hill down to Carson City. Oh, snap, the Xbox One is now launching, and it's black ice. It's a blizzard just to get down there at midnight. And you know it's a different time when we showed up for the Titanfall 1 launch. And GameStop, now you're just pre-ordering games. So you've already pre-ordered it. You know your copy's there. But instead of a line, everybody's just in their car. Cars are on. Yep. They're staying warm by the heaters. And then the guy opens the door up at midnight, and everybody walks out and goes, okay, now it's my turn, you know. So yeah. I loved that one, Greg.
Yeah, Mike, I'm dropping into assets right now. Yeah, links from my old YouTube right channel now. With love like my... That. 100 my 156 by 156 camera that I had, like this digital camera, so I could go make when I was doing my Columbia Daily Tribune video game blogs.
Whoa, look
so,
at this video, bro.
So I could insert this shit in there or whatever. But like the third video I just put in is the PS3 Best Buy line. And I remember interviewing all these people, and there's like whatever 20 people in line, and only one of them wanted it. The others were just there to scalp it and flip it. Like a bunch of clowns.
No way, really?
Yeah, and they took a bath on that. Nobody wanted a PS3.
It's that crazy price tag on that thing is right.
Yeah, of course.
Look at you running around with this camera filming people, Greg.
Dude, I was a journalist, all right? Do you understand? I did things. I was making journalist kind of stuff out there, doing things, having fun.
Yeah, sadly gone, but never forgotten the midnight launch, right? It is sad because, you know, we tell stories about all this, and of course now I think our kids and other people will never really get to enjoy what that really was. But it was a spectacle. It was really special. I'll always think of Halo 3 and all the kids outside and the music and the party. Like, it was a big deal to go to these.
And I remember doing that checks out. Yeah, I remember doing the Halo 3 midnight launch here in San Francisco. Because IGN was sending a bunch of people over there. Not to, like... do anything really, you know what I mean? It wasn't like we were there to get the game. We already had copies of the game. It was more like we were partnered with them for something, I think, where it was like we were gonna go over there and do this thing. I don't know, it's whatever. But I remember doing that over there, and that was one of them. But like one of the things I think is an interesting wrinkle that I never thought of until I was on this side of the industry and talking to people. The other big miss, you know, for losing midnight launches is on the developer side. Because I know so many developers who would go to their local GameStop if they were having a midnight launch. Cool. They would go there and they would bring swag and they would sign things and they would like celebrate it with people. And that was such a big deal for them. I think I want to say for that Halo one, we might have had Xbox people there.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, of course, right? Greg, let's end it like this. When we look forward to the games coming out, if you could organize a midnight launch for one game, what game would it be, and what would make your midnight launch special? What would you do to make it a fun time? Or would you just go classic old school, stand in the line?
Well, you know, for a game that I'd like to see, an upcoming game for a midnight launch, right? Like, I would probably say Spider-Man 2.
It's got to be Spidey, right?
I think you're going to have a lot of fun energy there. You're going to have a lot of good cosplay there. You're going to have a lot of people pointing and doing the memes there. Somebody dressed as Doc Ock. That's cool. And then, yeah, in terms of, like, what you could do, like, because you want to, like, I'm the perfect midnight launch, we do it on the Avengers campus. You know what I mean? They throw some kind of giant midnight launch party there that you can go and, you know, get your photos taken with Spidey and do all the different things and ride the ride or whatever. But then, yeah, buy your game there and have that moment, that once-in-a-lifetime moment. Have some Spider-Man 2 themed drinks, the Venom Leaker or whatever they want to call it.
I love that, Greg. That's a good one. Yeah, for me, I was thinking possibly Bethesda and Starfield, but that's too nerdy. Right, that's just too button-up nerdy for me. It has to be a Halo or a Gears or maybe even a COD, right, where it's just like, oh, everybody and their mom is going to be here. And then that can lead into, we could take over the parking structure. We could play some music. We could have tournaments of the old game until the new one comes out. But nothing beat seeing someone dress up as Master Chief. Maybe always on the cool. gear side, always you could cool. have someone dress up as Marcus Fenix walking around. But, like, I think you got to have an element of, like, cosplay in there, like you brought up
100%.
With Spider-Man, right? Because if not, it's just a bunch of me and the flunkies waiting for Call of Duty.
You know, another one that I never took part in, but I know so many cool stories come of, and what you're talking about is, like, Smash.
Oh,
where,
yes.
you know, you show up and you'd actually play Smash with exactly. people while you waited for it. That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, I mean, for Halo Infinite, it would have been cool because you already would have had the multiplayer out, so you could have people playing the multiplayer waiting for the new Chief story. But then that means you got to have a good special edition. You got to have some sort of cool statue. You got to have a great steel book because why are we buying the game or why are we buying just the campaign? But, man, if Halo was still super relevant and cool, I think you could make a fun one out of that one.
For sure.
But
for
with
sure.
that, Greg, that was us remembering console launches and, of course, special midnight launches. If you ever went to a dope midnight launch, let me and Greg know in the comments down below. It's always special to hear the stories. And, of course, if your children won't be able to take part in one, you can still tell them all the special stories like me and Greg. With that, this has been another episode of Remember.
But you feel like that's one of the things of, like, we overlooked here of, like, it will be fucking dope as shit when Ben inevitably likes video games.
Like
when Destiny 4 is coming out and we're both going to play it together and we have the two TVs lined up with the two consoles under, or streaming, whatever the fuck it'll be in this time frame. And, like, it is the countdown clock to it. You know what I mean? Like, me and Jen make cupcakes or whatever, some goofy-ass thing for him.
You make it special. You guys are going to be the ones to make it special.
God damn it.
That's totally right, Greg. It's like, on the flip side, now you can make it special in your own home. Have a good time. Yeah. Or maybe if it's a cool multiplayer game, invite a couple friends over for a sleepover. Make it something special like that. But
I'm sure the servers won't die at all. Don't worry.
Oh, man. I'm still queued up for Diablo 4 beta right now, Greg. It's only taking 3 hours.
69 minutes? Get the fuck out of here.
All right. With that, we'll see you later, best friends. Peace.